So in the last episode, we learned how to connect to a database directly from inside a website. And in this episode, we're going to learn how to insert data directly from inside our website. So we don't have to go inside the database and start typing SQL code in order to do that. So we're going to do everything from inside our website here. Yes, I did cut my hair. It is quite a bit shorter for health reasons, so it is a little bit different. It wasn't my choice, but it is what it is. I do want to start out by pointing out a little bit about what exactly we're going to be doing when we connect to our database and insert data into our database, since there is a couple of ways you can do it. We did talk about us using PDO in the last episode, which is what we're going to stick to in this video here, so we're not going to use MySQLi or MySQL, which is outdated. We will be continuing to use PDO in order to do this. And we're also going to be using something called prepared statements. And that is something that is very important for you to do. You can insert data into a database without using prepared statements, but that is not secure. So I don't think it's a good idea to teach you how to do it without using prepared statements, since there's never a reason for you to do so. So we will be using prepared statements in order to securely insert data into a database. And just to talk a bit about what exactly prepared statements are and what exactly they're supposed to do, let's say we have a website like this, where we have a sign up form where you can go in and type in your username, your password, your email. And if a user were to go inside your website here and go inside one of these inputs, it is actually possible to type code directly inside these inputs here. So just like we talked about cross-site scripting in a previous episode, like you had to sanitize your data and validate it to make sure that people couldn't inject JavaScript code into your website, it is also possible to go in and write SQL code. So if you were to write SQL code directly inside this input and the user submits it, then they can actually destroy your database, because maybe they decide to write a SQL query that can go in and just delete the database or something. So to prevent the user from being able to write SQL code directly inside an input like we have here, we need to use prepared statements. Now, the way a prepared statement works is basically we send in the query that we write, so the SQL code, and we send that to the database first, and then afterwards we bind data submitted by the user and then send that to the database afterwards. So because we separate the query from the data that the user submits to us, we can do them separately and not have SQL code have an impact on the query that we write inside our PHP code, because they're separated. So using prepared statements is a very good idea. So having talked a bit about that, let's actually get started on creating an actual PHP script that can actually insert data into our website. So going back inside our editor here, you'll notice that I do have one thing that you do not have from the previous episode. So in the last episode, we did create this database handler together, where we can just go in and grab this PDO variable in order to connect to our database. But inside my index page, I do actually have a form that I created, which is the one you just saw inside the browser. This is just a basic HTML form. You should know HTML by now, so this shouldn't be anything new to you. This is just a basic form where I go in and say I want to submit this data to a PHP file, which is going to be inside my includes folder called formhandler.inc.php. We did talk about the naming convention that I use here with .inc. So if you watched the last episode, I did explain that in that episode. And I am using a post method, since we need to submit data. And when we submit data, it is more secure to use a post method. And that is the method you're going to be using most of the time when it comes to submitting user data. When you want to grab data from a database, you use a get method most of the time. And then you can see I have a couple of inputs down here. I have one for the username, I have one for the password, and I do also have one for the email address. Now, I do want to point something out here, which is that we do have an attribute inside each of these form inputs, which is called name. We did talk about this in a previous episode. We talked about submitting data using a form. This name attribute is the name that we're going to be grabbing inside this file up here when we send the data to the other page. So it is very important that you have a name attribute and you remember what they are, or you can just go back and look at your form, so you know exactly what you need to grab in order to grab the data. So having talked about this, let's go ahead and start creating this formhandler.inc.php file, since that is what we need in order to actually, you know, run this data submitted by the user so we can actually insert it inside our database. I do also want to point out to you before we continue that this is the data that is fitting into the table that we created together in the table episode. So as you can remember, we did actually go inside our database here And we created two tables. We created a comments and a user table. And inside the users table, we do have an ID, username, password, email, and created at. Now, we did set it up so that ID and created at is automatically created for us, so we don't need to submit any sort of data for that. But we do need to submit data for username, password, and email, which just so happens to be the three inputs that I included inside my form. So now that we know this, let's actually go ahead and create our form handler.ink.php file. So I'm going to go inside my includes folder over here, right-click, say I want to create a new file. I'm going to call it formhandler.ink.php. And having created this one, we can now start creating a script that actually goes in and submits this data to our database. So the first thing we're going to be doing is we're going to start up our PHP tags. We're not going to close them though, which we talked about in the previous episode, since this is a pure PHP file that is just going to run a script and then that's it. We don't need to have a closing tag because it can actually cause issues, which we don't want to happen. The first thing we're going to do is to actually run a check to see if the user submitted the data and entered this page the correct way, because it is actually possible to go inside our website here and go inside the URL and then directly say, I want to go inside my includes folder / and then form handler .ink.php. And then you can see I actually entered this script that we just created, and entering this page here in the way that we just did, just by typing into the URL, is not a good thing. So we do need to make sure we check if the user actually submitted this form in order to access that page, because otherwise we don't want them to access it. So going inside our code, I'm going to go in and create a if statement. I'm just basically going to check for a super global. So in this case, here we're checking for a $_server. And then I want to set brackets and go inside and say I'm looking for a request method. Request_method. And check if it's equal to a post method. So if the user actually submitted a form using a post method, which we did actually do because we just did it right here, and enter this page using that method there. If not, then I want to create an else statement and basically say that I want to send the user back to the front page because, you know, they're not supposed to be here. And we can do that using something called a header function. So basically create a header function and say we want to add a location, colon, and then you add in the link that you want to send them to. So in this case, here we're inside a includes folder. So in order to get to our index page, we have to go back one directory. So we say ../, and then we say index.php. So basically now, if the user tries to access this page without actually submitting the form, so if we were to go inside the URL here and say I want to go inside my includes folder and access this page, you can see, oh, okay, now I got sent back to the front page. So everything is working perfectly. So now what we want to do is we want to go inside the actual if condition and say, okay, so if we did actually access this page legitimately, then I want to actually grab the user data. So I'm going to create a variable called username, and I'm going to set this one equal to a $_post, since we sent this data using a post method. And inside of here, I'm going to reference to the name attribute that we actually submitted inside the form. So in this case here, we called it username, or at least I did. I don't know what you called it, but if you followed my tutorial, you did call it username. And then I'm going to cover this down two more times. And the second one is going to be PWD for password. And the third one is going to be email. And just like so, we now grab the data. And you may point something out here because, hey, Daniel, you forgot something. You didn't use the HTML special characters function in order to sanitize the data. Why didn't you do that? This is actually something we have to do when we want to actually output data inside the browser. So when you're not outputting data into the browser, it is not dangerous, at least as it is right now, to not sanitize the data. So anytime you have to output data into the browser and actually spit it out, so if we were to go down here and actually do something like this here, so if we go down a couple of lines and say I want to echo out the username, then I would need to sanitize this because I'm now outputting data into the browser. So I would need to go in and actually wrap this in HTML special characters. Otherwise, this is not going to work and it's going to be unsecure. But because right now we're just submitting data into a database and not outputting it inside the browser, we're not going to be sanitizing anything just quite yet. You can, of course, do it if you want to and sanitize the data like we did in the last couple of episodes and just, you know, submit the data into the database being sanitized. But it is best practice not to do so unless you actually try to output data into the browser. And the reason for that is that we are converting this to HTML special characters. So in some cases, you know, when we want to use data from inside a database, we don't necessarily want to have it in HTML special characters and use it inside our code. For example, if we're not planning to actually output it inside the browser. So do be aware that there are some cases where you don't want to have HTML special characters translated data inside your database. So in some cases, you don't want to have it. The next thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to run a try catch block, which we talked about in the last episode. Basically, we're just trying to run a block of code. And if it fails, then we want to catch an exception. So we're just going to go down here and say, if there is some sort of error happening, then I do want to go in and say, I want to grab a PDO exception. And I'm going to create a variable E as a placeholder that I can refer to. And then inside of here, if something happens that goes wrong, when I actually try to insert this data into the website, then I do want to, you know, output a error message. So I'm going to die, which is a function we have inside PHP that is just basically going to terminate this entire script and stop it from running. And it's going to output a error message. So going in here, we can actually say we want to write a custom error message. In this case here, I could say something like query failed. So I'm going to say query failed, colon, space. And then I can concatenate the error message. So I'm going to point to the exception and then get method. Or not method, message. Get message. It is a method, but it is called get message. So it is the same thing. The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go inside this try block that we have up here. And I'm actually going to grab my connection to our database because we have that inside our dbh.ink.php file. To do that, I'm going to use something called require underscore once. And this is basically going to say that we want to link to a file that we have somewhere. So I'm going to grab a PHP file, for example, and just say we want to link it inside the script here. So when I go in and say I want to link to a dbh.ink.php file, I'm just basically linking to this file that we have up here. Do keep in mind that because I'm inside the includes folder right now and typing this script here, we don't need to go inside another directory or something. If this dbh.ink.php was inside another directory, you would of course need to go back out of the directory and go inside the correct directory. And doing this here is basically the same thing and just going in and saying, oh, okay, I'm just going to include all this code and just paste it in here. Like this is the exact same thing. So we're just basically linking to another file, which means that we have access to all the code inside that file after this point here. And I do also want to point out, because I don't think we talked about this yet, we do have require underscore once. We do also have require, if I can spell that correctly. There we go. We do also have something called include. So we can say include, and we can also say include underscore once. All of these basically do the same thing, but with slight variation. So include, for example, we'll go in and say, oh, okay, so we're going to include this file, just like we did up here. But if we can't find the file, then it's going to give you a small warning saying, oh, I can't find the file. Include underscore once is going to do the same thing, but it's also going to check if the file has already been included earlier inside the script. And if it has, then it's going to throw you a warning. And when it comes to require and require underscore once, they do the same thing as include and include underscore once, except instead of just throwing a warning, it is going to actually run a error. So it's going to have a fatal error saying, oh, okay, we can't find this file, so stop everything from running. Or it's going to say, oh, you already included this file once, so stop everything from running. So these do slight variations of each other with, you know, different exceptions. In this case here, we're just going to go ahead and use require underscore once because we don't want to run the connection if we already have the connection included somewhere else. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to write a variable called query because I now want to actually create a query that I can send inside the database to insert data. So I'm going to set this one equal to a string, which is going to be our SQL query string that we're going to submit. And I'm going to run a insert statement. And you may recognize this one because we did learn how to do this inside our database episode. This is the exact same thing. So the SQL code is basically insert into, and then we're going to choose a table. So in this case, it's users. And I also want to make sure that we include our column names. So in this case, if we have username, we do also have something called a PWD, and then we have email. Then I want to include the values. So I'm going to say values, and then parentheses. And I'm just going to go ahead and wrap my code here to make sure that it doesn't disappear off screen. So it goes down to the next line instead. And then I'm going to go inside and give it the actual values. Now we could do this here and just say we want to copy the variable and just paste it in and say comma. space, and then password, paste it in, and then the email, and paste it in, and this would actually be okay. Do keep in mind to close off with a semicolon at the end here, because this is a SQL statement, which means that you do need to end off the SQL statement with a semicolon, just like we did inside the database episode. So it may look a little bit weird that we have a semicolon here and also one here, but do keep in mind, this is the SQL and this is the PHP. But like I said earlier, we're not supposed to insert user data directly inside our query, otherwise they can do something called SQL injection and destroy our database. So doing it like this is not really seen as a good practice. Now, there is two ways we can use a prepared statement. Either you can use something called name parameters or you cannot use name parameters. I will show you how to do both ways, and we're just going to do one of them at a time. So using not name parameters, what you basically just do is you replace these different user data with question marks. So you say question mark, and question mark. And these are going to act as placeholders, so we later on can actually go in and insert this data or bind the user data to this query after we submitted the query. So going down to the next line, I'm going to create an actual statement, which is a prepared statement that I can actually prepare to query this query inside the database. So what I'll do here is create a variable called stmt for statement. Then I'm going to set it equal to our database connection, which is variable pdo, which we have access to now because we actually required this file up here. And then I'll point to a method called prepare, parentheses, semicolon, and then inside this prepare statement, I'm going to submit my query. So basically now I'm submitting the query to the database, so it gets run into the database, and then afterwards I can actually go ahead and say, okay, but now I'm going to give you the data that the user submitted. So I'm going to reference to the statement we just created, so statement, and I'll go ahead and point to another method called execute. So parentheses and semicolon, and inside this method here, I'm just basically going to submit the user data. And I'm going to do that using a array. So I'm going to add a pair of brackets, and then I'm going to go in and just submit these data one by one. So we're going to say username, then we're going to say password, and then we're going to say email. So doing this here is going to actually submit the data from the user and actually sign them up inside the website. But before we test this out, let's actually go ahead and just finish off the script here, because there's a couple more things that we need to have in order for this to actually be kind of properly done. The first thing we're going to do is manually close the statement and also the connection to our database. It's not something you have to do because this is actually going to happen automatically, but it is considered best practice to do so manually to free up resources as early on as you can. So going down here, what I'll do is I'll refer to my database connection. So that is variable PDO, and I'm going to set it equal to null. Then I'm going to go ahead and go in and say I want to grab my statement, and I'm going to set it equal to null. And I just want to point out here, there's a couple of ways you can do this. There is also methods for closing off a connection or a statement, but I'm just going to refer them to null, which is the same thing as just saying, okay, so just, you know, not set them equal to anything and free up those resources. And the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to write a die method, just like we did below here when, you know, some sort of error message happens, then we want everything to stop running. I do also want to point out here that you can use die, or you can use something called exit. And people do argue a lot about, you know, whether or not it doesn't matter which one you're using. The general rule of thumb is that if you're just closing off a script that doesn't have any sort of connection running, then just use exit. But if you're running something that has a connection inside of it, then use die. And of course, we do also need to make sure we send the user back to the front page after they signed up inside our website. So I do want to go down here and copy this header function, and then paste it in right above the die statement. So we send the user back to the front page and then kill off this script here. So this is everything that we need in order to get this working. So I could actually go inside my website here and go in and say I want to sign up John Doe, you know, just to give him some sort of, you know, username. Password is going to be 123, and then I can call his email john@gmail.com, just to give him something. If I were to sign him up inside the website, you can see we get back to our front page. If I go inside the database and refresh it, you can now see that we have another person signed up inside our website. So as you can see, our script is working perfectly. I do want to point something out here, though, which is something that I know some people might point out. Why is my user ID 10 on this person here? It's just basically because I inserted some users before this tutorial here. So the ID is going to change a little bit compared to yours. So having done this, we now did this using non-name parameters, but what about name parameters inside our code? So if I were to go back inside the form handler, I do recommend using name parameters because it actually allows for us to know inside this query here, which data is supposed to be inside where. When it comes to using non-name parameters like we did here, I do also want to point out that the order in which you insert the data down here inside the execute has to be the same order as inside the columns up here. So these have to match up with each other. But when we use name parameters, this is not the case because I can actually go in and say instead of question mark, I'm going to write a colon and then I can give it some kind of name. So I can say something like username. I can also say the second one is going to be colon PWD. Then I can say the third one is going to be colon and then email. And in this sort of way, instead of question marks, I'm now giving them actual names. So after preparing my query here, I can go below and I can actually go ahead and bind my user data to these different name parameters up here. And I can do that by referring to my statement. So I'm going to say statement, and then I'm going to point to a method called bind param, which stands for parameters. And then I can go in here and say that I want to have two pieces of information. I want to first of all have the actual name parameter. So the first one is going to be the username. I'm going to insert that one. And then the second one is going to be the actual user data. So in this case, our username variable up here. So if we were to paste that in, we now have a name parameter bound to a actual data submitted by the user. So I'm going to copy this down two more times, and I'm just simply going to change these. So password, then I'm going to change to email. And then I want to make sure I delete the array that we have inside the execute down here, because now we don't need it anymore because we actually bound them up here instead. So doing it like this, we now use name parameters instead of not name parameters. So what I can do is I can go inside our website here and test this out one more time. So I can say Jane Doe, in this case here. So we can say password 1234. Then I can say jane@gmail.com. And then I can sign up, go inside the database, refresh it, and then you can see we have Jane Doe instead. And this is basically how we can go in and actually submit data using our PHP code from a website instead of going directly inside a database and manually querying the database in there. So this is how we can insert data. I hope you enjoyed this episode. In the next one, we're going to talk about how to actually update and delete data. And then after that one, we're going to talk about how to select data and show it inside our website. So I hope you enjoyed, and I'll see you guys in the next video.